You've tuned in to Wednesday Night Bible Study at Central Baptist Church.
Good Wednesday evening, everyone. We want to thank you for joining us for Wednesday Night Bible Study at Central Baptist Church. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn with us tonight. We're going to be looking at passages out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So go ahead and turn there in your Bible. If you don't have that, hit that pause button. Go grab it, because we certainly want to have you right along with us as we enjoy our Bible study. I mentioned a moment ago, it is the 28th of October. The month of October is almost gone. You're probably feeling a little crispness to the air as the weather is changing into what feels a little bit more like fall. But if you enjoy fall, this is getting into your time of the year. A moment ago, I mentioned we're going to be looking at passages out of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1. So to kind of set up our thought about what we're looking at this evening, I want to ask you a question. If you were to think about a church, what things come to mind when you think of what a great church is? There are many answers to that question. A lot of folks will say, you know, the fellowship that's involved with the church and the people being able to get together. Some people will say doing life together. Some would say that it's the preaching services. Some say it's the missions, evangelisms. And some will say it's just a combination of all those things rolled into one. So I want you to kind of hold that concept of what you think of when you think about a great church. And you've probably had opportunities along the way to talk to some folks who have been anti-church, and you know, you've heard the negative side of that. You've heard what people have said on the negative side when it comes to church. In fact, many people could probably think of more things people say negative about the church than what they would say in a positive way. Now, in the passages today, we're going to look at what Paul was thankful for in the church at Thessalonica. No doubt that you probably have heard some preacher along the way say, if you ever find a perfect church, be sure not to join it, because if you do, then it won't be perfect anymore. Since local churches are made up of human beings who are saved by grace, there is not a perfect church out there. So if you're looking for the one that's perfect, you're not going to find it. Oftentimes what takes place is people will get upset over something that takes place in the church. They'll go somewhere else because they say, I won't have to deal with that anymore. And I can't tell you how many times folks have said, well, I handed off one set of problems for another set of problems. Yeah, what one church may do really good, another church may not do as well at. But let's look at what some ingredients that made up a great church, the church of the Thessalonians at Thessalonica, as Paul mentions it here. Look with me today as we read God's word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. We're just going to look at that whole chapter. It's only a handful of verses. But let's look at what Paul was saying about this great church based on the ministry that he had there and what he knew about it. 1 Thessalonians 1:1, it says, Paul, Simonas, and Timothy to the church at the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Verse 8, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, as we just still our hearts before you, we just ask and pray that, Lord, you would just move in our heart, move in our midst. Lord, help us truly to take these moments to be still in your presence. We know there's probably a lot of things that are taking place and that are going on around us right now, but help us to concentrate on your word for these few moments that we might learn what lesson the Holy Spirit has for each and every one of us. Lord, as your servant, I simply ask that you would use me, that you and you alone truly would be exalted, that you might be lifted up, and that you might have the opportunity to draw all men unto you. So, Lord, bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at these particular passage of what Paul was saying about the church of the Thessalonians, we think about this text. And in this text, Paul is thankful for the church of the Thessalonians, and he continued to pray for this church. I want to ask you right now, why do you think that it is important to pray for your church? You know, it's often been said that prayer moves mountains, so why don't we move more mountains? Are you praying for your church, whether you're a member of Central Baptist Church here in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, or whether you're following us from someplace that's not here in North Carolina and you're catching our broadcast? Are you prayerfully supporting your church? Are you praying for the ministries of your church? Are you praying for your pastor? Are you praying for the staff? Are you praying that God would do some incredible things in your midst? Folks, every great thing that God has ever done can be traced to a kneeling figure, one who goes in prayer. If not, I want to encourage you to be a catalyst to get that started within your church. I enjoyed a brief chat that I had with one of our deacons this past Sunday. And he said, I think it would be important for us to really get together and pray for our church during this time of a pandemic. So, one of the things that we're looking to do is put something forth in that regard that everyone can participate in, not just deacons, not just staff, but every member of the church having that opportunity to be able to get on their knees before God and say, Lord, what is it that you want us to do? What is the new direction as we're in the middle of and also coming out of this particular pandemic? So there were three specific things that I love that Paul mentioned when he was talking about the church of the Thessalonians. He talked about what the things that made that church as great as it was. And I want to get you to do a side-by-side comparison. If you've got your Bible there, specifically over in chapter 1, verse 3. So I want you to hold that for just a minute. I want you to think about chapter 1, verse 3. And then I want you to also look at verses 9 and 10. And I'm going to lay this comparison beside it because Paul mentioned the great things that the church of the Thessalonians were doing, and then he defines them down there in verses 9 and 10. So when we think about church today, when we think about the things that make a church great, particularly according to Paul and the church of the Thessalonians, he gives us what those ingredients are. So let's take a look at them, and then what we want to do is we want to make sure that those are things that are a part of our church. Now, when I say a part of our church, I simply mean as well, if they're not part of our church, what is our responsibility in being the catalyst to bring about the change, to bring these great things that make a church great? So look in verse 3. Let me point out the three things that Paul says made this church what it was and made it great. You'll notice he says, your work of faith. Now, you see that in verse 3? Now drop down there into verse 9 and you'll see how he defined it. In verse 9, he says, you turned to God from idols. That's where he lays that out. Your work of faith, you turned to God from idols. The second thing he says, your labor of love. There in verse 3, your labor of love. And down in verse 9 also, it says, it was to serve the living and true God. That was their labor of love, to serve. Folks, let me tell you something. Service is something that God wants from us, not because it's something that our arms should be twisted to do, but it should be that we're so in love with God that we recognize the talents and abilities that He has given us as individuals to bring into the church. Folks, remember, the church is not the building. It's not the brick and mortar. The church, that's the people. So what talents and abilities has God given you? I laugh and joke a lot about this because I've said one of the things I would love to be able to do is sing and sing well. I would love to be able to play an instrument and play it well, well enough that I could use it for God's honor and glory in His church and outside of His church, but at any rate, to bring honor, credit, and glory to Him. I don't have those things, but I love the fact that God has surrounded me with people who do. Man, my heart was so blessed this past Sunday, just having an opportunity to hear Lynn and Keely sing and to hear Doug and J.D. As they presented and ministered to us in song this past Sunday. If you didn't get a chance to see that, go back and look at Sunday service and you'll hear both of those folks. They brought what God had given them to exercise it for the honor and for the glory of God. So we looked, first of all, in verse 3, we saw two things. It says your work of faith. Then we saw your labor of love. And then the third thing he says was, and patience of hope, meaning to wait for his son from heaven. That's the one thing that we do. As we have given our life to Jesus Christ, the next great event, as we live our lives, we're supposed to be living them for him. With the next great event we're looking for is what is termed the rapture. When the trumpet sounds, when God calls the dead in Christ to rise first, and then he calls all of us who are left, who are remaining, that are alive, to be caught up together to meet him in the clouds and to forever live with him. What a blessedness that is. People say all the time, why is it that God continues to wait amidst a world that seems to be going crazy? Well, God has given us every chance possible to reach others with the gospel of Christ, that heaven may be a crowded place. So he's also given us the responsibility to be able to share that saving grace message of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, the message of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Because folks, when you get Jesus in you, Jesus changes you. Those are telltale signs. Salvation begins with God. You know, I love what the passages talk about, and I don't want to get into too heavy of a theological discussion in our limited time today. but sometimes people look at that and they talk about that word elect, as we see it in Scripture here. And there are many different definitions that people have about what it means to be elect. You know, there are some who take the theology that you know, this group over here is born to and they're going to go to heaven, and this group over here, there's nothing that can take place, and they're going to wind up going to hell. I don't subscribe to that theology because I believe where the Word says he would that none should perish. And people have asked me at times, what is the most simplistic way to try to describe this term or this word, election? And the best thing I have been able to come up with to explain it in a way that most people can understand it is, I said, you can imagine the entrance of heaven and there being this big arch that comes over the entryway to heaven. And above it is written, whosoever will may come. And that means you. That means me. That means the Jew, the Gentile. That is any living, breathing human being. And then I said, imagine passing through that gate and you look over and you look to the backside of that arch. You remember the front side said, whosoever will may come. And the backside says, the elect of God. Listen, if you have trusted Jesus Christ, you are the elect of God. And I believe that he's looking for elect wherever we may go. He wants everyone to come to the saving grace and the saving knowledge of his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that provides salvation for one and all. Now, once we do that, once we have truly in our heart and in our life trusted the Lord, there are certain things that the Word says we shall show forth. And those are essentially the things that Paul is mentioning about this church. We read it in over in Corinthians as well, but he talks about faith, hope, and love. Remember the love chapter? And at the end of it, it says there's faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Paul mentions this. These were characteristics and qualities of the church of the Thessalonians. He said, look in that verse 3 again, your work of faith. The second thing, your labor of love and your patience of hope, meaning to wait. We're being patient. Folks, patience is something that's a quality that I have to confess to you today. I'm not a very patient person. I won't get into that one, but I know a lot of you are in the same way. We're just not patient. We live in this instant society where we drive through to get our medicine. We drive through to grab something to eat. When we want it now. We order something online, we want it the next day, if not that day. So we have trouble at times being patient. And people have said so many times, well, the Lord has been saying, you know, since 2,000 years ago, I'm coming soon. Well, think about this for a moment. The Bible also tells us that one day in heaven is 1,000 years on earth. Now, I don't say that to discourage you, but I say that to tell you he's gone to prepare a place for us that where he is, there we might be also. And in the meantime, as we have trusted him, these things are great evidences of our faith. And when I say great evidences of our faith, what am I talking about? Faith, hope, love. I mentioned a moment ago that Jesus in you changes you. It changes your perspective. It changes how you look at things. It changes how you see things. It changes how you function with other people. So, yeah, Paul is saying these were great characteristics and qualities that he saw as he ministered there. So, like I say, verse 3, you could take as almost an outline that gets defined in the verses 9 and 10 along the way. So when we look at what he was talking about with these particular things, he talked about these were an exemplary people in verses 5 and 7. They had received the word. So he talks about how in faith they had come to Jesus. He talks about in verse 6 how they had suffered for Christ. You know, how did Paul know that the Thessalonian believers were chosen? We talked about that by God. And in what ways did the church of the Thessalonians become an example to all believers? And he said down there in verses 8 and 10, if you'll notice, look at what he says. He says down in verse 8, he says, "For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth." Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also every place. He talked about the fact that their love for the Lord and their wanting to serve him. They fell so in love with Jesus that they wanted to do for him. Now, when we compare that to today, I want to ask you this question. Are you so in love with the Lord Jesus Christ today that you strive to use the talents and the gifts and the abilities that he has given you to see other people come to know him just because you love him? You know, when that happens and when that takes place, when Central Baptist Church does that, when the church universal, all the believers begin to do that, it's a resounding sounding, as this particular passage tells us. It says, verse 8, "For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth." In other words, people have been seeing and hearing the gospel. Lost people, they were seeing that something different was taking place in the hearts and the lives of the people of the church of the Thessalonians. Now, when you think about that, when people see something different in your life, they see a change in your life, and they see your love, they see your faith, they see your hope. People will desire that. They want to be a part of that. They want that peace in their life. They will almost beg you to point them in the direction of Jesus Christ. And as evidence, Paul was saying that not only had the word of the Lord sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, which is the areas where the churches were influential or their sphere of influence, it says, but also in every place. In other words, word is spreading like a wildfire. It says, your faith towards God, this is verse 8, has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. In other words, Paul was saying, we don't have to come in here and encourage you all to be evangelical. We don't have to encourage you to get something going on so that you can tell people about Jesus. He was saying, what you're doing now, you're loving one another. You're coming together. You're sharing with one another. You are proclaiming that the cause for the change in your life is Jesus in your life. People are seeing that. They're accepting him. They're coming to know him. And this is a great thing. In other words, what he was saying is that through your ministry, the word is spreading like wildfire. And he says that these churches became an encouragement to all the other churches in that area. Now, I've said this so many times. Churches should never be in competition with one another. We're out here for the same cause. And people have asked me many, many times, they're like, well, does it bother you that a church, if a church comes up just down the street, or if you see a new church in your area. And I've always said, no, it doesn't bother me at all. And they said, well, why not? Because, you know, they're pretty much in your shadow. Aren't you afraid that they're going to take, you know, people from you? I said, you know what? Churches aren't in the business of taking people from another church. It's not about swapping sheep, as has often been said. But my comment to those folks are usually this. There are enough lost people in the town in which we serve. There's enough lost people in your town that you could fill up your church many, many times over again and still not have room. So we need to have partners. Just like what took place when the disciples were out fishing. And if you remember the time that they fished all night, caught nothing, Jesus told them, cast a net on the other side of the boat. And when they did, it said the net was so full that they couldn't even hardly get it in. And I love the lesson that's often not taught in those particular passages. But it says this. It says they called out to their brethren to come and help them. In other words, yeah, there were so many fish in that net, they couldn't even bring it in themselves. They called their brothers to put more hands on the net to be able to land the catch that the Lord provided for them. They called on their friends and brothers. Folks, I love to see churches out there that are truly ministering the gospel message of Jesus Christ to the hearts and lives of those around them. So it's not a competition. We should be working together to see people come to know Him. I trust and pray that that's what your thoughts are as well. So the church of the Thessalonians became an example to all the believers. And from this church, the word of God sounded forth, verse 8, everywhere. It's the word of God sounding forth from your church. Is the word of God sounding forth from our church? And how so is that being done? It's not just about being able to broadcast a message live. It's not just about the pulpit ministry. It's about many other ways. It's about what you're doing in your personal life to exercise those talents and abilities to show forth those three things that Paul pointed out in these particular passages. What was it? It was faith, it was love, and it was hope. You know, are you doing those things with what God has given you? See, there was a powerful testimony that others were hearing about those Thessalonian believers. To be an effective servant, for you and I to be effective servants of the true and living God, is what is necessary to turn people away from idols. And I love what those particular passages said. Look at verse 9. It says, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." And folks, that's what it's all about. The first commandment says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And that's what they exercise. When you turn to the Lord, the rest of those gods should fall to the wayside. Now, many people look at that from the truest perspective, and they say, well, I don't have little statues around that I'm paying homage to. I don't have idols in the truest sense of something that you have set up a shrine to, which, yeah, believe it or not, that happens. I've seen that widespread even in our today's society. But what else is it that you might be putting before God? Because anything that you put before God, you make a god. Yeah, is that your job? Is that your financial position? You know, are you putting that before God? Is it pleasure? You know, are you spending more time, you know, on the lake or on the golf course or somewhere else as opposed to spending time with God's people in the house of the Lord? Now, I know that steps on some toes, but Satan is very cunning with a lot of things that he does. Satan loves to get in there and make things to compete with your time of being a part of the body of Christ and being a part of the fellowship. Now, I want to interject something right here in regard to church, because we're in some very, very tough times. I've often said it this way. As we go through this pandemic, all of the safety precautions are completely counterintuitive to everything that the church knows. When you think about it, social distancing. Well, you know, church calls for fellowship. You know, we talk about loving our brothers and coming together and coming together with the common cause of Jesus Christ to laugh together, to cry together. And with this pandemic, we're not even supposed to really be coming together. So Satan's very cunning in what he does. Satan has taken you out of church maybe for a while. And understand my heart when I say I understand the precautions that many of you need to take. But don't let it be something permanent. Don't let it be something that pulls you out of a service position. Don't let it be something that Satan puts you on the sidelines for in the middle of this pandemic, because God never meant for that to be. Now, God watches over us. God will protect us. And I think that we have to be smart in what we do. I think it's perfectly fine to be safe and cautious as we go forward. But folks, don't allow something that is done that even would be good and right to stop you from exercising what God has given you, to stop you from being a part of the fellowship. Now, let me say something. As grateful as I am for technology, as grateful as I am for being able to come to you today by way of social media, by way of video, with all the wonders that it is, folks, that really takes an element of church away. The coming together, the being together. So I understand right now we're in a trying time, but please don't let this become something permanent in your life. Don't be that person that sits back and says, well, you know what, I'm a part of Central Baptist Church, but I don't really go. I just sit by and tune in on Sunday mornings because it's live, and I watch the Bible study video. Don't allow that to be a substitute for what God intended, the koinonia, the church, the coming together, to be able to minister, that we might sound the gospel, not only here, as the word tells us, in our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and our uttermost parts of the world. So what is it that God is shining forth in you? When you think about the church, you also have to understand that its ministry is not just simply because of your pastors. It's not just simply sitting down and preaching the gospel or standing up and giving a message on Sunday. It's about how are we reaching people with the gospel message as the gospel message reflects from our lives. When people see us, do they see that change? Do they see that Jesus in us has changed us? Do they see the faith, the hope, and the love that Paul said was just oozing from the church of the Thessalonians? When people look at us, do they see the fruits of the Spirit? In other words, those things that we will shine forth simply because we know the Lord. What are the fruits of the Spirit? We talked about them not long ago. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control. Or do they see spite? Do they see Christians tearing one another and other people down? See, the Word tells us that we're supposed to edify. This is something else that I didn't bring out in this particular passage, but Christian people are to edify, to build up one another. And let me make you this promise. If you're not building up, you're tearing down. So are you building up the body of Christ? When people look at you and when people hear you, do they see you talking positive about your Christian brothers and sisters? Do they see and hear you talking positive about your church? Because the church has made a difference in your life. You know what? No church is perfect. We confess. Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina confesses we've got our issues. We've got things we need to work through. We're not perfect. But here's what the other thing we need to know. No other church is either. Where we may be lacking, some other church may do well, but they may be lacking in something that we do well. So it's not a contest. It's not a competition. We need to edify one another. We need to build up the body of Christ. We need to sound out the gospel message that hopefully when we reach glory and when we stand in the presence of Jesus, we might hear words from him in the same manner that Paul spoke about the church of the Thessalonians. Man, those people loved me. They had faith in me. They worked tirelessly, not because they had to. They worked tirelessly because they loved me and wanted to. They worked tirelessly because they cared about a lost mankind and they wanted to get that gospel message out. Folks, it is time for us to think beyond the walls of the church. It is time for us to think out into the world, into your workplace, to the people who have never donned the doorstep of a church a day in their life, to carry that gospel message to them, not only because God loves them, but because we want to love them as well. We want them to be a part of a great and large family called the body of believers. That is a great, great example for us to follow as we read these words. And what a powerful testimony that was heard from the Church of the Thessalonians all the way around the world. When we think about this, for a true believer, you know, what did Paul say that Jesus would deliver them from? And we understand that. He's delivered us from death, hell, and everything. No matter how bad life gets, Here's the one thing I know and understand, particularly about me, and I hope and pray about you, that no matter how bad life may get, there's a great day coming. The day when I see my Savior's face, where there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more bills to pay, where everything will be perfect in the presence of the Savior. And what am I going to get to do? I'm actually going to get to sing, and I'm going to sing well. I will get to sing praises to the Father. So why not go ahead and start preparing now for what we will be doing for all of eternity in His presence, and that is worshiping the King. Would you join me? By the way, folks, you know, we have our Sunday services here at Central Baptist Church. If you feel comfortable in getting out, we have venues by which you can spread out. You don't have to be close to anyone. You can sit out in the parking lot in your car, hear the service. You can bring a chair. You can sit out on the lawn if the weather cooperates. Even if it doesn't, if you want to sit out there in a jacket, you'll be able to hear the message. You can come into our multi-purpose building, bring your chair. You can social distance from others that are there. Or you can go into the sanctuary, social distance in there, and be able to watch the message by simulcast. Now, if you don't feel comfortable, we're still coming to you live on our social media page, the same page you're watching this on right now. And we're grateful for that opportunity. We really, really are. But let's not lose what church really, really is all about. Coming together, doing life together, the koinonia, being the church, that our faith, our hope, and our love may be so contagious that people around us will look outside and say, I want what they have. And when they come looking for what we have, we point them in the direction of Jesus Christ, because it's not about us, it's about Him. Will people say great things about you? Will people say great things about your church? Realize today, folks, we're not perfect. But by the grace of God, we put one foot in front of the other to be able to express that faith, hope, and love that's mentioned concerning the Church of the Thessalonians. What a joy that must have been for Paul to be able to sit back and say, you guys have done a great, great job. One thing I do want to point out up in that first passage, verse 1, says Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. Silvanus is actually the Roman name for Silas. You've heard of Paul and Silas. You've heard the story of the prison. Just wanted to point that out. Meant to do that earlier, but so people are sitting there going, I don't remember who that is. That's Silas. That's who's being spoken of right there. So with that, my question is, are we being the type of example that God wants us to be as a believer, B, a church member? You know, are we the people, the church that people look at and say, man, they got Jesus going on there. That's what I want to be a part of. Or do they look at us and say, you know what? All they've got is a bunch of programs. I'm not interested in programs. You know what? I'm not interested in programs either. I'm interested in changed lives because of the Savior. Will you come and be a part of that? Let's build one another up in the sake and in the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, the world's beating everybody down, particularly today. That's all you see. Seems like everywhere you turn. It's time that God's people begin to build each other up in the name and in the sake of the Lord, that people say, wow, I want to be there. I'm loved there. I want to be in their midst and in their presence. And they say, what is it about you that's different than the world? And you can say, give me Jesus, because that is the difference. For true believers, Jesus is the one who delivers us. And what He did on Calvary's cross is our message, and He has saved us from the wrath to come. May we be diligent to use what He's given us to proclaim that message, to proclaim that word through not only our church, but also our lives, our workplaces, in our homes, and our neighbors, wherever we may be, that people truly see Jesus within us. In just a moment, I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. I do want to go ahead and give you what your readings excuse me, for the next week will be. Actually, you can start today. As we've mentioned before, we just ask you to read one chapter a day for 5 different days. So that gives you 2 days off. That'll even give you your weekend that you don't have to do it. But don't read ahead. Just read the one chapter a day. And the reason why is we want you to meditate on that. We want the Lord to speak to you through those particular passages. So for beginning this week and what we're going to address next week, the passages are going to be 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 through 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Once again, that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 through 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And then when we come together next Wednesday, we're going to be looking at the passages from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, entitled The Man of Lawlessness. So be ready. It's a great time. The Lord will teach us a lot of different things. Also, I want to mention, as we get close to election, we do have some nonpartisan, and I make sure I throw that in there. These are nonpartisan voter guides for 2020. This doesn't propagate any candidate. It just gives you some information so that you can make wise decisions and wise choices. Even gives you a little place in front of it that you can, as you do your research, you can fill out your ballot and be able to take that to the polling place with you. And again, I urge each and every one of us, take the time to do not only your civic responsibility, but your civic gift of voting. A lot of places have early voting going on. You can go do that now. A lot of people, I've done it myself. My family's done it already. We walked right up and voted. Now, some of you might want to get in there and just wait for those long lines on election day. That's okay if that's what you like doing. But whatever you do, please vote. Vote whatever your heart, whatever your conscience may be. That was me who just nailed that table. But I also want to mention, too, Operation Christmas Child. We're in the process of preparing the boxes for that. If you saw us Sunday, you saw Miss Beverly talk about the fact that we're an Operation Christmas Child regional drop-off center. So we're looking forward to being able to serve in that capacity this year. We do have boxes available if you want to pack a box for a boy or a girl. These boxes, they go overseas, often third world countries, to kids that otherwise never would receive a Christmas present. Some never have received one until they get this little box. But not only are you giving them a gift at Christmas, you're providing them an opportunity to hear the gospel message and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. There are so many testimonies of people who have come to know the Lord through this particular ministry. If you need a box, we have them here. You can pick them up right outside our church office. You can pick them up in our multi-purpose building as well as over in our sanctuary area. We want to encourage you to be a part of something great that God's doing. Beverly's going to tell you more about what our schedule is as we come forth. But now, biggest thing, get you a box, start packing it up. There's some directions on things that you can put in them and things that you shouldn't put in them as well. So pick that up. We look forward to having that opportunity to participate in this ministry. And we look forward to having an opportunity to see you Sunday as we once again gather around God's Word. So with that, let me close this out in a word of prayer. And I'm praying that God's going to bless you and use you throughout the rest of this week. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. Again, we thank you. We love you. We praise you for all that you do. Help us, Lord, to be the church and to be the personification of what we read about in these particular passages about the church of the Thessalonians. Lord, may our faith, our hope, and our love be earmarks. May we be a place where God's people not only come together to learn, but they're encouraged and we lift up and we edify one another in the spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, help us. We know we're not perfect, but help us to strive to be more like you day by day. Help us to take these words to heart. Help us to personally and individually do our part with what you've gifted us and called us to do. And Lord, we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. We'll talk to you later.